In winter 1985, Father Charles Strobel looked out the window of his rectory to see a crowd of people camped out in the church parking lot. They were looking for a safe place to stay after their encampment had been destroyed. Father Strobel knew that if he welcomed in a group of people that night, they would be back the next. But he could not in good faith stay inside warm while people outside of his car or outside were sitting in their cars right outside his window. So he invited them into the church building, armed with not much more than a PB&J. 36 years later, that one night of welcome has become what we know today as the organization Room in the Inn. With hundreds of churches in partnership and a year-round facility, Room in the Inn now provides one of the largest services in our area for people experiencing homelessness. What started as one act of compassion from one individual sparked into a network that surely has grown far beyond what Father Strobel ever imagined. As he is often known to say, never underestimate the power of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. As a world, we are conditioned to look to the powerful for leadership and not to expect change to come from small people or places. But as the many nonprofits in our area show, you can make a big impact on people's lives with limited resources. It's in this same vein that Micah writes of the future of Israel. A ruler was to come out of Bethlehem, which was traditionally the most insignificant of the clans of Judah, to bring peace and security to them all. This scripture in Micah, which many suggest is a prediction of Christ's birth, is also referenced in Matthew as the Magi tell Herod where the baby is to be born. Herod's fear, then, was not just about a new king who might contest his own political power. It was of a ruler who would overturn the very nature of who held control. A shepherd from Bethlehem? That's who my competition is? As Catherine Schiffer Decker writes, in the case of Bethlehem and those who come from her, the old biblical patterns hold true. The insignificant are exalted. The tables are turned, and the most unlikely people are instruments of God's salvation. It is not the way of the world, this exaltation of the lowliest, but it is the way God works, over and over again. This ruler that Micah predicted was to, in majesty and strength, feed God's flock. So not only was this leader to come from the little town of Bethlehem, he was also to be a shepherd, in keeping with his ancestor David, who was a shepherd before becoming chosen as Israel's king. Micah was clearly connecting this new ruler to the Davidic line, perhaps as a connection to the beloved, though flawed, leader. And perhaps as a way of setting straight the systems of power that came after David's and many others' faulty leadership. Micah was hopeful that through God's concern for God's people, the world was about to change. The Israelites had been invaded and exiled. They were subject to violence and insecurity that left them unable to create stable systems of government and leadership. Micah's hope for his time and for all of the future of Israel was that a leader would come from the people, someone who understood them and did not raise themselves up to be greater than everyone else, but who in humility instead brought others up alongside them. This leader would ensure that all were fed and would lead to peace. And this would not be an artificial peace enforced by the swords of men, but a true, lasting peace created by God. What does this peace truly look like, though? In an age where we are no longer familiar with shepherds and sheep, this concept of being led by a shepherd can feel distant. We do, however, still understand power dynamics, where those with money and status have more influence, and where your age and your race can determine your opportunity. We look forward, just as Micah did, to a world in which these concepts are turned on their head, where the lowly and unresourced are the ones looked to for creating change, for they know intimately what is needed to survive and how to lead through partnership with the community. And this is the type of leadership that Christ exemplifies in his time on this earth. He is a poor carpenter from a fairly insignificant town, being born in a stable, no less. Shepherds, not kings, were the very first to witness his birth. In his ministry, he leads not by aligning himself with the powerful, but instead with the poor and marginalized of society, entrusting his ministry to those who were leaders not because they were successful, but because they were trusted in the community. Peace, then, looks like everyone having what they need and sharing what they are able so that the whole of the community moves forward together. Micah predicts that in this day of peace, all will be fed and secure. A world removed from the competition for goods and resources that we are surrounded by today. This shouldn't come as a surprise to us, for much of our conflict draws from the false scarcity belief that there is not enough for all. When we trust in the Good Shepherd, though, we can rest assured that, one, we are part of the flock, therefore dependent on community. And two, we are also led and protected by more than just our own means. And trusting that we are not alone, but live in and in fact depend upon community, we can let go of this need to protect ourselves and our own self-interests alone. We can learn to trust that if we all look out for one another, we will all have what we need. This work for peace can feel intimidating, but when we offer care to one another, we make strides towards God's peace being experienced. God works through small, seemingly insignificant moments of life to create real impact. Anne Stewart comments, "The promise of Micah is that God will be faithful and will appear in surprising ways." As Advent draws to a close, Micah invites us to look for God's presence where we least expect and to be attuned to the voices of the small, the powerless, and the vulnerable. Are we prepared to be surprised? Are we prepared to welcome the Holy One into our midst? As we await Christ's coming on this fourth Sunday of Advent, preparations for Christmas often can get caught up around the material instead of the spiritual. We're surrounded by the flashiness of the season, the pressures to spend money on extravagant gifts and decorations and to fill up our time with parties. And ironically for us, Christ comes not in extravagance, but in humility. Now, the fun things are not bad necessarily, but a focus on the material abundance can be distracting from the humble roots of this season. In the rush of planning so that we can get everything just right, perhaps we lose sight of the mystery and surprise that comes, and which we can be particularly present to in the act of waiting. I think this is why we love the Christmas Eve candlelight service so much. After a season of the hustle and bustle, we are finally invited to sit still, be present with our community, and take a collective breath as we are immersed in the darkness and wonder. Emily P. Freeman talks in her podcast, The Next Right Thing, about how to be a soul minimalist during Advent and Christmas, removing distractions and focusing on our values and intentions for the season. She asks, what do I value most for my inner life this Christmas? And what could I remove that will distract me from it? Your holiday posture, as she calls it, could be about feeling peaceful or grounded, or for this to be a season of listening or hope, picking a value to focus on and create space for, and taking out the things that distract you from it. When we focus on a certain value or posture, we give ourselves permission to let go of that which clutters our capacity to be present for that which we have decided matters most. Advent calls us to be present all season, not just in the candlelight once the errands are finished. Maybe the presents do still need to be bought and wrapping needs to be finished. But I invite you today to find maybe just a moment each day to pause, put aside the tasks, and prepare your spirit for Christ's coming. In this moment of waiting, I pray that you will feel Christ's peace among us and beckoning you to join in. God promises that we will be fed. We will find security, and we will be at peace through Christ's coming. We can see the fulfillment of this promise in the times that may not feel particularly noteworthy or that are simply part of our yearly traditions. Each present that was brought in for the manger, coat for a room in the inn, blanket for downtown Presbyterian, and Thanksgiving basket for Hard Bargain added up to hundreds of lives being touched this Advent season because of the small individual gifts from this community of faith. The sensibility offering envelopes that are in the pews each week invite us to give a few cents per meal, and this adds up throughout the presbytery to provide thousands of dollars in grants to hunger organizations across this region. And the Christmas joy offering that is being taken up today is one of the four special offerings that are collected throughout our denomination each year. They go to help hunger, disaster relief, youth formation, peace, global witness, and church leadership. There are countless other ways that the small decisions we make each day impact those around us. As Mother Teresa often shared, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. When we share acts of love and peacemaking, we begin to bring about God's kingdom here on earth. And it's this that Micah's words call us to put our faith in the one who leads us in humility towards a more peaceful world, where we are all fed and taken care of. As we approach Christmas this week, may we do so with humble hearts and with eyes that are open to the mystery that surrounds us. May we be willing to be surprised at where we see God in our midst. And may we uplift the voices in our community that are calling for the exaltation of the poor and lowly. May we prepare our hearts and our lives to welcome Christ once again, this Bethlehem-born baby, the carpenter's son, the shepherd king. The one we are waiting for is close at hand. Are we ready to receive him? Amen.